Hello and welcome to the Biz News Briefing. We're going to be talking about a couple of misadventures and a new opportunity by South African companies going into the global market. Also, the Bank for International Settlement has been waving a red flag about the gold and US equities markets going into bubbles. But first, there was dramatic last-minute reprieve for South Africa's ferrochrome sector today, and this after a high-stakes engagement between Glencore, Eskom, and the trade union NUMSA. Just hours after NUMSA members had marched to the union building to protest energy prices by Eskom, the local Glencore CEO, Yapi Fulard, sent a message to the union leadership to confirm that a memorandum of understanding had been signed between Glencore, which is the operator with Merafe of the ferrochrome smelters, and Eskom. According to the message that was sent to NUMSA members by its leadership, Glencore has agreed to suspend broader retrenchment processes and to halt the voluntary severance packages that were due to be processed this week. Merafe Resources confirmed the deal on SENS, a stock exchange news service, stating that the consultation process has been extended until the 28th of February next year. So a happy Christmas for all of those NUMSA members in a surprisingly strong finish to the year for the coal operation Thungela Resources. It defied a tough market to beat its own guidance that it had given to investors. In a pre-close update released today on the Stock Exchange News Service, the miner confirmed that its South African operations will beat the projections by about 100,000 tons of export coal for 2025. It wasn't all smooth sailing, though. Its Australian mine, Ensham, faced geological challenges, but aggressive marketing in Dubai secured sales for lower quality coal, keeping production within guidance. The market loved the report. Costs for South African exports are expected to come in below the guidance number that was given. The company has reaffirmed its commitment to paying out at least 30% of operating free cash flow in dividends. Investors voted with their wallets. Thungela shares were up 4% on the news. Well, it's officially the end of an era for a South African media giant. MultiChoice, which is the owner of DStv, where we are platformed, is going to be delisted from the JSE. It ends officially today. This follows a successful conclusion of the squeeze-out process that was initiated by the French broadcaster Canal Plus. In October, the company confirmed that as of last Friday, it completed the compulsory acquisition of all the remaining shares, and that means the end of the MultiChoice listing. So when the market starts again tomorrow, there ain't going to be no MultiChoice amongst the listings on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. It isn't, though, a permanent goodbye. There was, as part of the arrangement where Canal Plus bought MultiChoice, that it has to have a secondary listed inward listing on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, and it has to secure that within the next 9 months. So before the end of 2026, you'll be able to invest in the television operator again. Well, let's move on to the first of those two international stories. Now, Famous Brands this morning announced that it is going into Malaysia. This is the company that famously took a big knock when it invested in the UK through the acquisition of Gourmet Burger Kitchens. I caught up today with Man on the Run, Group Executive Terry Boardman.
We are obviously going in with Steers and Devonair Pizza into the Malaysian market with a great partner in Mesra. They've got lots of experience with retail, and obviously they link to the Petronas Group. So got lots of real estate of across the Malaysian landscape. So really a good partner to kind of get into Malaysia with. And we're very excited about it from that point of view.
And I guess the South African connection would have helped a little, given that Petronas is represented here through Engen.
Well, they were. They've sold out their share in Engen. But that's how we kind of linked up with them in terms of the relationship. It was towards the end of their kind of tenure here with Engen, so they're no longer involved there. But that's kind of how the introduction happened, and it's kind of flowed from there. Yeah, great opportunity in the Malaysian market just to kind of get in with somebody that's really kind of got the experience, done a very great job of kind of growing retail, especially with their Mesra cafes across the Petronas fuel sites across Malaysia. So very exciting.
Is it going to be at the garage, at the petrol stations, as we call them here in South Africa?
Yes, we've got our first locations opened in Bangi, which is a suburb just outside Kuala Lumpur. And that is in a petroleum site, but separately to the C-store. So it's a Debonair's Pizza and a Steers combo that we've initiated there. But there are other opportunities. There's several other opportunities that sit outside of the petroleum network. So obviously the petroleum network is a kind of easy in terms of expansion with the Mesra group. But there's opportunities sitting outside of that as they expand into other retail environments. It's important to choose the right partner when you're going into these markets. I mean, Malaysia is, as we well know, quite an established market in a growth phase. And very similar in terms of the, I suppose, the family unit and the dynamics that we've seen if we compare it to the South African market. So it didn't feel unfamiliar in terms of how we would enter the market with Mesra as a partner and how we would ultimately grow. I suppose the word to say is grow confidently, but cautiously in the market rather than going with a big bang. We've got a very clear plan in terms of how we're going to approach that particular market. So it's not about rolling out hundreds of stores within a short space of time. It's about consciously going after those sites and locations that make sense. And we're quite differentiated in the market compared to the international players. So there's a nice opportunity for us to bring something different to the Malaysian market.
Michelle's a mom who traded in her Fiat 500 for this beast right here. But why the momentous move, huh?
I needed something bigger to keep up with my growing son and his many sports bags.
When you traded in your car with We Buy Cars, was it an easy conversion?
I see what you did there. The process was just so easy. I was given a tablet, had to sign, and that was it.
Basically, We Buy Cars is no mess, no fuss. Okay, it was nice chatting. We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
Famous Brands has clearly learned its lesson from the Gourmet Burger King acquisition that went wrong and is doing things differently now. A similar opportunistic decision cost Spar very dearly. They're not looking to do any more international activities for the moment after taking a 4.8 billion rand knock on getting out of Switzerland and Poland, where it had invested opportunistically a while back. I spoke to the chief executive of Spar, Angelo Swartz, about what this meant for the company for the financial year to the end of September.
But yeah, a difficult year for Spar. We've had to make some really difficult and strong decisions. The exit of the European businesses meant that we recognized some write-downs in the goodwill of those assets and the value of those assets so that we could exit them quickly, which we've now done and is behind us. Thankfully, those impairments are largely non-cash. And so we were able to recognize those impairments while reducing our debt and keeping the continuing operations going fairly nicely.
Yeah, that's a good. The good news part of these results is the debt falling very sharply. Has that been part of your intention from the day you took over?
Yeah, so I think the day this management team took over, we kind of articulated five key short-term priorities, and those being one was the reduction of the debt, the other was the exiting of Poland, and the third key one was figuring out how our European portfolio fitted into the long-term picture for the group. I think we've signed off on all three of those now. And then a key part of that was in ensuring that the business was at a sustainable level of debt for a South African business. The levels of gearing, or the appetite for gearing in Europe, is a lot higher for the appetite for gearing in South Africa. Obviously, a lot of that related to what the interest rate in the across the geographies look like. But yeah, the reduction of debt is a big, big part of our story, and was a big driver for some of our decisions. Yeah.
That full interview in what we call the director's cut is on biznews.com/briefing. And closing off, the Bank for International Settlements has taken the most unusual approach of warning that the gold market and the US equity market are heading for bubbles driven by people like you and I, retail investors. The Financial Times' resources editor, Leslie Hook, has got the story for us.
The BIS is the bank to the central banks. So it's usually quite a conservative institution. It's handling central banks' assets and advising them on their investments. And so it's quite unusual to hear it come out with such a strong statement that gold and U.S. equities might be entering bubble territory. And one reason why it says this is that prices have risen a lot this year. Gold is up 60%, the S&P 500 is up 17%, and NASDAQ is up 22% this year. And the second characteristic that the BIS picked up on in its report is that both these asset classes have been marked by a retail frenzy. We've seen retail investors pour into the gold market, particularly in the last 3 months or so. Earlier in the year, we saw more central bank buying, more institutional investors, and this retail interest has kind of, you know, supercharged gold prices from about September onwards. Now, the BIS sees this retail involvement as being potentially risky for the market. And its report says, quote unquote, that retail investors have a propensity to engage in herd-like behavior, amplifying price gyrations should fire sales occur. So it's identifying this retail involvement as one indication that we could be in a bubble.
How significant is it that both equities and gold are forming bubbles at the same time?
Well, it's quite unusual. The BIS points out that this is the first time in 50 years that both these asset classes have exhibited this type of behavior at the same time. Typically, gold is seen as a safe haven asset. So when you're in a high-risk environment, you might sell your equities and buy gold. But that's not what's been happening this year.
Well, that's your briefing for today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, cheerio.